I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What's up? My name is Carrie Lane, and we are going to be talking all about Sword Art Online, Alicization, War of Underworld. Yes, that is quite a mouthful, I know. And I have a very special guest here. I have Alex Von David, and I'm going to let you explain what you do with SAO, because it's a lot of things.
Yeah, so I adapt the English dialect scripts, and then I direct the actors, the voiceover actors, in a nutshell.
In a nutshell.
Yeah,
nice.
Pretty much.
Nice. Well, the first episode of this arc just aired on Toonami over the weekend. What kind of feedback are you getting online? What are you seeing from the fans?
Well, I think everybody's excited to have it back and stuff, and
right?
They're liking to see the characters again, and catching up with how everyone's doing. Unfortunately
right.
For Kirito, he's not doing so well. But yeah, Alice seems to be, like you were saying outside, she's living that domestic life.
Yeah, air quotes on that domestic, because it's like a more simple life for her that she hasn't had in quite some time. So episode one, we start with her, and it's been about 6 months. Kirito's totally comatose, pretty much. Though he can eat. I'm glad he can eat and he can sleep and basic functions.
Yeah, he just doesn't walking. He can't walk.
Yeah, no. He can hold the swords, though, because he does have that, like,
she just props
little
him up.
Bit.
She just props him up and he puts his arm around it, but it's... Yeah, it's just kind of leaning against his shoulder and stuff, so...
It's like, aw.
Yeah.
That's so sad to see him in that state, too, because we left him where it's essentially he gets... What would you describe it by as a system of, like...
He got short-circuited.
There we go.
Yeah, that's the best way to describe it, I'd say.
It's like, we get that flashback where she's kind of remembering, Alice is remembering that moment, and I worry for him. And Bryce did such a good job of the symbol. I'm just joking. Nicely about it, because I'm like, well, how is it also directing somebody to be like, so you're in this scene, but you're comatose?
Well, Bryce has been following along with the show as it's been airing on Crunchyroll. And so he was actually really excited to come in and do his 15-minute session of going, And I mean, it was, you know, I just told him it's more breath than voice. And you're just trying to communicate that you want the swords.
Mm.
So... You know, we preview the Japanese always, and he took it from there, like a couple of takes and stuff.
Nice.
That's about it. And then I think after we were done with the Kirito stuff, he played a couple of goblins getting slashed and a couple of knights getting slashed too, or something.
Give him a little more action to do.
Well, just to fill up his time.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's
That's
kind
true.
Of yeah, yeah. It's, you know, Bryce is up for everything pretty much when he comes in, and so if he's only got, like, you know, 10 loops of his main character, he's down to, you know, go and help out on some of the incidental characters, too.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
We do have a live chat here, so if you are watching this live, thank you so much for joining us. Please, if you have any questions about the show, we're not going to do spoilers, so don't try. But, you know,
everybody dies in the next episode.
Everybody. I mean, come on. It's the Japanese version's been out, so you know that. But, I mean, like, if you have questions about the process or the actors or the particular scenes, please, or in the adaptation. So in this first episode, I'd say not a ton happens, all things considered. But were there any particular moments in this first one for translating it from the Japanese to doing the English dub that stood out to you or anything or was interesting in this particular episode? I mean, later on, we have Alice doing her life. We have the tree scene getting cut down.
Right.
We also have Eldrie.
Eldrie,
thank you. And also we have the
Bercoli.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think probably the most challenging one about this episode, if I'm remembering correctly, was the last conversation between Eldrie and Alice when he's trying to get her to come back.
Yes.
I've noticed in this show, in this batch of Sword Art, the performances are, especially with the Underworldians, their performances are done in such a way that there's a lot of pauses in the sentences.
Hmm.
They're sort of their conversations are a little bit more measured. Not all the Underworldians, but like Alice, and then a few of the knights, some of which are coming up.
Yeah.
And so it's been kind of challenging trying to adapt the dialogue in a way where Those pauses are actually natural pauses in a sentence, and then it doesn't sound too translated or awkward or, you know, hi, my name is Alex, you know, that kind of, I try to avoid that as much as possible.
No, I'll be honest, I generally watch more sub than the dubbed, but something I enjoyed watching this version, watching the dub of this, is Eldrea, I liked that scene a lot because there's a lot of emotion in it when he's trying to get Alice to come back. She's his mentor and a little bit of a crush, too, and it's complicated, but I really liked how that turned out.
Good. Good. Thanks for saying that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody worked really hard on that scene. Ezra was great, and of course, Kaylee was going 100% as usual. And then, you know, at the end, there was this little breath that Eldrea does as he turns away from her. I remember
scoff.
We spent...
Yeah, almost.
I wouldn't call it a scoff, but it was like... Yeah. It was like... It was like disappointment in there.
Is it a give up sigh?
No, he's just disappointed in her.
How do you direct a sigh?
Well, you know, Ezra also directs dubs, too, as you know, you know him. So... you know, all I have to do is treat him like any other actor, but a little different with him is I can always say, this is the result I'm going for. And him, he'll go, oh, got it. Okay, so I got to just do it a little bit louder so that you guys will be able to hear it after it's mixed, those kinds of things.
Oh, that's interesting.
A lot of the actors understand that if I give them like a result, I say I need this to be louder because, but we can't lose the sort of tremble that you're putting on the read of the line or the effort or the whatever.
Yeah.
And, that scene was my favorite and it was tricky to adapt, but not the trickiest. The trickiest one is...
How was it tricky to adapt?
Since I'm given the translation, that's worded one way.
Okay.
And then when you watch the characters speaking, if their mouth is on camera, it flaps a little bit, then stops, then flaps a little bit more.
Mm.
Sometimes, like on some shows, like there's a show that I worked on called Konosuba, and that animation is the style is very sort of. It's not as finessed as sword art.
Okay.
So mouth flaps just go. And so you can get away with a lot more with that.
Sure.
But with sword art, if, you know, a character's on camera and there's a really dramatic scene and they flap a couple times, stop, flap a little bit more, I got to figure out how to make that beat where they stop flapping, you know, work logically in an English sentence.
Yeah.
The difference is when you're watching subtitles, you're reading, but
absolutely. It makes a difference of when the sound occurs. I was going to ask then, are there moments when you don't see their face and you're the actor or you are like, oh, good.
And especially...
it's over their shoulder.
Yeah, no. Any of the off camera or over the shoulder things are like paradise for me on this show. They don't come enough. And, so there was a couple times on the first 24 episodes of the season where King Wonka and Higa were explaining stuff about the soul translator, and I was just like, thank God this is off camera, I would have been sitting on that script I would still be writing that script probably.
Because it's very complicated, but so it's like, how do you make that easier to digest?
Yeah, there's that. There's the...
Complicated in a good way. Interesting.
Well, there's the logic of what's going on and the concepts and all that kind of stuff. And luckily, I've been reading the books. So I have the books there. And if I ever get hung up or if ever there was a thing I remembered from watching it when it was streaming, I made a note of it and stuff. And of course, when I get the script in front of me to work on it, same problem. I don't understand really what's going on. I'll crack the book open and usually the book will have like extra paragraphs of like, you know, the thoughts of the characters and stuff as they're explaining something. And that usually, I can usually work some of that into the script to help the audience understand more.
Nice.
So, because I figure that if I'm watching the subtitle version of Sword Art and something doesn't make sense for me, It's probably not going to make sense for the audience either. So I try and, with the client's permission, of course, I try to add anything that would help explain some of the bigger sci-fi or philosophical concepts. Yeah.
Well, because the show has quite a bit of all of that.
Yeah,
for sure.
Definitely.
One of the questions from the chat, which you did kind of cover, was what was your favorite moment from Natsu Dragneel? Hopefully I said that right for you. Oh. What was your favorite moment during the first episode, which you did kind of cover?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
yes.
Yeah, there's little bits of every episode that I kind of really like. Little charming moments and stuff. And it's when Alice gets to the lake with Kirito and Selka, and she sees it. I liked how the director handled that moment. Mm. The walk through the woods on the path was really, there was something about it with the sound design, especially when we were working on the mix and stuff. We're hearing it much louder than you do at home. And there are all these wonderful little sounds, forest sounds going on around the characters as they're walking through the Eldria Alice conversation. I liked seeing Alice and Amayori, her dragon, and their relationship.
The dragon. Yes.
He sleeps in the hollow of the tree, and
it's like a really cool dog.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Then something else, kind of related to that. Kindle in the chat says, "Are there any unique challenges to directing War of the Underworld arc compared to the rest of SAO?"
Oh.
I mean, you've kind of touched upon that a little bit of just how they are speaking in the underworld, but are there any challenges?
The technical challenges of just with the animation of the mouth flaps is definitely more challenging than any of the other sword arts. The soul translator, the idea of the soul and willpower in the underworld and how willpower incarnate skills, how magic works. I mean, those were all really... really tough to make clear with those mouth flaps.
That makes sense.
Yeah. For sure.
We also have Renji in the chat says some of the Japanese words are one or more syllables than English words, or more than. So you have to see it matches with the lip movement best. That's true of like if a word, like if how many times the mouth moves, like if how many syllables something has, I think that would be a later problem of how somebody says something.
Yeah, so there's a couple different thoughts with people who adapt anime, and some people, some folks try to match the syllable count with the English, and I don't do that. Syllable count is fine, but then you have characters all speaking very rapidly.
Yes.
In moments when they should be a little bit more thoughtful.
Yeah.
And I don't care how good the actor is. If they're trying to jam, 26 syllables it's just not going to sound very heartfelt or anything. It's just going to sound rushed. We actually had an issue in one of our view downs of one of the episodes where one character I underwrote on purpose so they could slow down their read. Mm. And... unfortunately, it actually affected their performance. So we actually have to go back and redo all that character stuff. It's an incidental character, so it's none of the big characters. But still, it's one of those things where it's kind of like, if we had an actor who knew how to take better beats during the performance, a more experienced actor, perhaps it would have... gone as I would have hoped, instead of sounding listless, which is what we ended up with, unfortunately. So, but you never know. Who knows? I may end up jamming it with 26 syllable words.
Next time you're like, oh, man.
And she'll just be talking really fast.
Yeah. Actually, something you mentioned earlier that I was kind of curious about is, do the English voice directors ever really get to chat with the Japanese voice directors? Like, do you all ever go, hey, I saw your stuff, or nothing?
Nope. I got to hang out with the director of Tomohiko Ito. He was the one who directed all the sword arts before this, except for Gun Gale Online, the sword art alternative thing.
Yeah.
With the little Len, the pink girl. So I got to hang out with Tomohiko Ito, and we had dinner and stuff, thanks to Hiroe, our producer at Aniplex. And he came to one of our recording sessions for Ordinal Scale and got to watch Sharami do asana and stuff, and he really loved that. We pretty much just talked movies. Ito-san, because he directs the whole show, he's involved with every aspect of, shot selection and sound design and the performances as well. And one of his things was he liked how we were taking it seriously. So he liked the respect that we were putting into it. And I thought, oh, well, that was really
nice of him to say. That's quite the compliment then, yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. That's cool.
So.
Because that is interesting. Like, you think would, I mean, there's not necessarily a reason for you all to interact, but I would be curious.
At the last Anime Expo last summer, Hiroe at Aniplex asked me to be on the panel with the director of this batch of Sword Art.
Ooh,
and
nice.
The producer and the writer and character designer.
Yeah.
We didn't get to talk at all.
Oh. You're like, hi.
I think he was very shy. Yeah. And I think maybe he just felt uncomfortable with his English skills or something. Mm. I don't know. We had enough people speaking Japanese there who could help. But it would have been nice to ask him a little bit about the show and sort of what his ultimate goals were with it.
Yeah.
That might have helped me a little bit more with my stuff. So.
Kindle has another question. Says, this part of SAO has a lot of action. How has it been like directing that?
Oh, so it gets pretty bloody because there's going to be a war.
Mm-hmm.
It's been fun. Everybody's been
a lot of yelling.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of yelling, a lot of dying. Gurgling deaths. But everyone's been up to the challenge, thankfully, and mm-hmm. we're not killing anybody, I don't think, in the booth. For the first time in ever, I've been doing this for about 15 years now. For the first time ever, I one of the episodes had so much action in it when I started adapting the script to when I finished adapting the script, I think took about 5 or 6 hours.
Because there was so little dialogue.
All the dialogue was really short.
Yeah.
And there was tons of action in it. And it was one of those things where I sat down, I worked on it, and like 5 hours later it was done. And I was like, oh my God, I wish everything was like this.
How long does it take for a typical episode to adapt, or does it depend on the episode? I mean, clearly the ones with more action, but on average, how long would you say from you getting the Japanese script to making it to what viewers are seeing?
I guess on average, it takes me about 4 full days. So when I get offered a show, that's one of the first things I'm kind of like, will I have enough time to write?
Yeah.
4 full days usually is good for me because then it allows me to get some sleep and not go too crazy. Some people have been doing recently 2-day turnarounds on some scripts, and
that seems quick.
Yeah, and they also have other jobs, and so they're not spending. They're just not given enough time, and it's kind of shocking that clients are okay with this, and what's even more shocking are fans are okay with this.
I was going to ask, how much do you feel that affects the quality of what?
Well, for those particular jobs, I mean, I'm not a voice actor. I work with voice actors. I'm not a voice actor, but almost every voice actor I work with, they're disappointed that a lot of the stuff they work on has this rushed attitude towards it, and they can't go that one extra take.
Oh,
that's interesting. Or they're looking at the lines and thinking,
yeah,
I have no idea what this is saying, and the director's like, I can't help you. It's everything. Doing a good adaptation takes time.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, in this age of got to have it now, got to get it out right away, time is the first thing to go. So, everyone's seeing the result of that, and a lot of folks aren't happy about it, unfortunately. So luckily for me, for now anyway, I'm kind of insulated against that. I'm still able to, thankfully, with Aniplex's support and Bang Zoom's support, I'm given 4 days to work on a script. And then we're given time in the studio to work with the actors, not just one take, moving on. Thanks a lot. Get out. Next actor.
Oof. It'd be scary.
Well, no. I mean, yeah, everybody wants to do a good job. I mean,
yeah, no, you want a time of like, wait, can I do that over? And actually, sorry, real quick, too, of speaking of the voice actors and the environment, Ryan in the chat says, what kind of atmosphere do you create, like to create for your voice actors? And does it vary? Do you ever change it up per performer? Or if you know them versus someone who's new working with you?
I try to let everybody know that I'm on their side, and that it's okay to mess up, and it's okay to speak up if you have like a question about something, or if I'm not being clear in my direction, or you just need a break, you know, just speak up. I try to keep it as not tense as possible, which helps a lot of people, but some people just come in automatically tense because they're thinking, oh my God, I got this part and it's a lead and oh my God, you know, some people, newer actors, tend to freak out about that stuff a lot more. So you have to just kind of just say, hey, take a breath. It's okay.
Is it better then to have the opportunity for making a mistake, because then maybe the actor is more likely to take a chance on something that works out well versus like, I don't want to even try.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. The more relaxed a voice actor or any actor is, the better everything's going to be. So...
We were just talking about the speed of how quickly shows are turned around. Got a good question. The Cartoon Cipher says, given that there seems to be a push for dubs to come out faster and faster, are you worried at all about the direction that the industry as a whole is headed?
Industry's already there, Cartoon Cipher. Folks are not happy. It's only a matter of time before I'm going to eventually get caught up in it. So I don't know how much longer I can keep adapting the shows that I direct. That also helps me as a director, having adapted the scripts, because I understand why this character is speaking this way, why that space is there, that break in the line. I understand what this breath means, because later on it's going to pay off later, or what this joke is. I've already done all that homework, and I try to be diligent about all of that stuff, to the point that when I do get into the studio with the actors, I have pretty much most of the answers that they need to any of their questions. And if we do get stuck, I can help them get unstuck.
Yeah.
Or I can help in the case of, say, like a line that's maybe too short or too long. I know what words to put in there to fix it, or it's a little easier for me to figure out how to fix it. It doesn't happen like that. Sometimes I'll sit there for 10, 15 minutes trying to figure out how to unscramble whatever our issue was with the line, whether it was too short or too long. Mm. But eventually I'll figure it and usually make the right choice.
Well, with the writing and how much directing, it feels like it could not let you have much free time, but what are some favorite animated shows you're watching right now?
None. Oh, no. No, actually, no. I think we were, the last time you had me on, we were talking about Madoka.
Yeah.
I think I told you, or I think you asked the question then too, and I think I said I had like these stacks of Blu-rays in front of my TV.
You have a few DVDs and...
Yeah, so those are, it's like...
Or not animated if you're watching anything else.
Well, I mean, you know what? I took a break a couple weeks ago because I've been getting sick over and over and over again since the beginning of December. I would, be writing a couple weeks. I mean, I hope I'm okay.
Yeah, no.
I'd write for a couple of weeks, then go into the studio and then get something,
yeah.
catch something, and then go home and then write for 2 weeks and then go into the studio and record what we just wrote or what I just wrote and then get sick again. And so it's just been like, I'm on like cold number three now or something. So one day I said, fuck it. I'm going to go, I'm going to watch something on TV. And I watched, Motherfuckers.
Oh yeah, that
which
new
is
one.
On Netflix. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Stephanie Shane, Michael Cimino-Nicholas worked on that.
I remember them promoting it.
Yeah, nice. It's really cool. They did a great job on it too. But I love the animation style mm-hmm. on that. It was just it was amazing.
Yeah.
And so that was, I guess, that's the most current animation that I've seen, and probably the most current thing I've seen in the last like month. Just because if I'm at home like I am right now, working on the scripts,
typing away.
Yeah, it's I'll be typing away. I'll make something to eat or go get something to eat. Come back. Oh, I know that mm-hmm. where I got stuck on that line. I'm gonna try this idea and then I have to write it down. It's just kind of like you get kind of OCD about it, or I kind of get OCD about it.
Yeah.
So that I don't want to like I want to keep at it until I'm so exhausted I can't keep my eyes open.
Is it better then to take a break and then come back to it? Or do you like...
What happens with... And like what happened to me today, there was a mm-hmm. couple of instances in episode 10, which is the really talky episode.
Mm. We're only in episode 1, looking at 10. Yay.
So on episode 10, there's a lot of talk and a lot of those moments where, you know, characters flapping away and then they'll stop and then it's all close up. There were a couple times today where I got so tired of trying to figure out what these three lines were, how to make the intention of these three lines fit in the mouth flaps, that by the time I figured out this one chunk, I was completely wiped out and I went and just took a nap. Half hour later, I got back up and started hitting the script again and got to another chunk and then took a nap again. I took a nap right before I came here because I got to this chunk and it was like, oh my God, Alice, why can't you just talk, you know, at one speed? But of course, she's Alice. So I finished this one thing. I'm like, great, I'm out of that scene. Nap. And after this thing, I'm probably just going to go home and take another nap. I don't know.
Well, speaking of, we're pretty much at the end of this thing. So.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's pretty much the big, in a nutshell, of all the stuff that goes down to make episode 1. I loved hearing the behind the scenes about it. I'm excited to see where it goes. Mm. I mean, yes, I know if you want to watch it, you could. But the English dub of it is turning out really well.
Good. I'm glad you like it.
I'm liking how it's going. I really like Alice's voice.
Yeah, Kaylee's doing a great job.
I think
job.
She did a great job. Yeah. I like the deeper tone to it, so I'm excited to see where she'll go and the other characters as well. Any other final words before we finish up for viewers?
No, thanks for supporting the show and for watching this and for your questions and stuff. Sorry we couldn't get to all of them.
Where can they find you on social media? Maybe we'll have you back again.
Just on Twitter. It's my name, lowercase Alex Von David. And I'm not on that much. I'm certainly not as active as a lot of the voice actors. I'll be on just to promote Sword Art on Toonami and stuff now that it's back. So thanks again for supporting the show and supporting all of us.
Well, thank you so much for being here.
No, thanks for having me. No, this was a blast.
I'm going to talk about the show. And thank you for everybody who watched live. Don't worry, if you watch this later, please leave comments about what we talked about. I know there's a lot more that also happened in the episode, even though it was small in a nutshell. But there's a lot more to come for sure. And I'm super excited to talk about it. We're going to have a lot more voice actor guests over the season, so make sure to tune back every week. And my name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. Thank you so much for watching. And again, thank you, Alex.
Yeah, no, thank you.
And we'll see you all next time. See ya.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV.